What's
the title of this
thing? Don't title again.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yeah, hang on. The pros would take blow your nose before you start podcasting, so. Oh, God. Oh, I hate those snot-filled ones. Got my tissue paper. She makes fun of me for having those stuffed up in my pocket. That's better. Of course, I'm the guy who complained about Keith McNally putting out a very nice podcast. Some beautiful, beautiful music. Don't even remember who, but stuff. He plays a lot of good music, especially on XO. And in the middle of it, he takes you into the washroom and has a long piss into the urinal or toilet bowl, and that's all you hear. And it kind of ruins the mood, so sorry if my nose blowing puts you off a little bit. But sometimes you don't have a choice in these things, right? Sometimes the voice says, do it now. And there's no backing down. That's the only way the Dixon Jades podcasting works. Minimum of thinking, minimum of prep, minimum of rehearsal, and certainly a minimum of censorship, self-censorship, if I can. Because that's the only way you get a little bit of truth to come out. It's a bit of a formula that I think more people should be toying with, you know? Like, hey, how do I know what I think? Well, you don't know what you think until you just start talking. And if you plan out, okay, let's see, Israelis bombing right now in Gaza, and the Palestinians have been pushed out of their home. Okay, I'm supposed to be against the Israelis right now, so bam, this is the viewpoint I'm taking. And maybe haven't really asked themselves to go a little deeper or think a little harder or move past the bias of the news and wonder about the whole world situation. You know, I think we just sort of very often adopt whatever is in vogue. It's like I don't know if I told you last time I wanted to. Yes, I did, about coming down hard on the poppy thieves. Like, this is a moral outrage. How could they, you know? And I think, yeah, but it's just another petty theft, really. And, like, why make it such a big deal? It's not like somebody's going around and systematically torturing and killing old veterans. Now, of course, a bigger story was the defamation of a relatively new memorial. And it's something along the lines, I can't remember the exact words, but it did mention Allah, and, you know, I don't know, I think there were protests, and it was a shame on Canada kind of thing, and of course, the militant Muslim community, those who were protesting during Remembrance Day, insisted on making noise, apparently, during the 2 minutes of silence. They said, no, this is just somebody else doing it to make it look like a Muslim did it. It really couldn't have been a Muslim. And that's pretty questionable. But you see what happened suddenly, you know. I had no idea I was going to go down that lane. It's the fun of holding the microphone in your hand and not knowing which roadway you're going to go down. You find yourself going down alleyways. You know, is that a dead end? Do I have to turn around and get back out and take this other side street? Where are we going to end up at? And in the back of your mind, you have a few themes you may want to get to, or some memories from the night before. Like when I looked at Rocco and said, you're just Rocco. There's nothing else. There are no other filters. Say, yeah, well, you're Japanese. You came here when you were eight. You've got these parents. You've grown up in this situation. And she was sort of saying, that's quite amazing, thank you. And I'm thinking, well, thank you for what? I do see people as the individuals they are. And as much as I can, it's obvious to color and religion and background and weight and size and intelligence and all these other things that are constantly being processed, somehow, she said, it's a gift. Like, I just see the person. And I don't know if that really makes sense or stands up to truth. She seemed to think it was important and quite wonderful. And I felt, you know, that might be a gift I've had all my life. That might be one of the reasons why I am successful at having a lot of good friendships and why people do like me and get along. You know, and this is not a bragging thing. I know we do a lot of that on the Dixon Jeans podcast. Look how wonderful I am once again. There's no show that goes by that I don't tell you how great I am. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I hope. I'm trying to say that. I can. Last night brought it to my awareness. It's like there was a sort of a fog, and suddenly the fog is lifted, and I can see clearly. Oh, you know, maybe that's true. I do just see people. And so what it means is I forgive people for all their weaknesses. I don't look for perfection, or don't apply some standard and say, oh, bam, you failed to meet that. You know, you just don't quite measure up, buddy. Not at all. You are who you are, and for whatever frailties you may have, and weaknesses and shortcomings, and the good, the bad, the ugly. And maybe part of the journey is maybe I've been able to do that with myself. And sometimes it would seem that I'm not able to do that, and that I am hard on myself. And other times, quite the opposite. I go very easy on myself, and I'm accepting for who I am. I like to think that's true, and I do trace a lot of it back to just this major turning point of that group therapy I went through in, what was it, out 74, I guess, 75, out in British Columbia, 74, I suppose. It was intensive, but it was a real-life eye-opener, and you just saw a group of people for all their weaknesses and problems, and you felt for them, and you it wasn't a question of forgiveness, it was a question of compassion. And there are other times when I think, damn it, I am not compassionate at all. It's a funny thing. Like, again, here we are, self-examining, and maybe I should just drop that topic for now. And I did want to say also, as I stepped out the door, I thought of Ed Bilodeau, who had a birthday yesterday, I guess, and I don't post these bloody goddamn fucking Facebook happy birthdays. If I do, it's an insult. I would rather send a message or something insulting, like Anthony having a birthday in Remembrance Day, instead of saying, happy birthday, Anthony, like everybody else. I just said, bummer. It's kind of a tease, because I like to tease Anthony, because Anthony can take the tease, and he can dish it right back in doubles, you know. It's the kind of guy Anthony is. Again, I can't get out of this circle sometimes. The joy I take in living because of the people I know and interact with. Obviously the theme of this podcast, interactions. God, I did think I was going to get onto fresh territory for a moment there, and I seem to be sort of stuck in the mud that I can't quite pull myself out of. Come on, come on, come on. There's got to be another street ahead. Turn somewhere. The Bond flick, I think I told you. Yes, I did. Best ever. And damn it, while Sean Connery has to remain the gold standard for James Bond, I am awfully impressed with Daniel Craig, and he's right up there, I would say, in my mind, almost tied. And I could even see him moving into number one. It's heresy to say that, you know? My God. Dude, you're going to question Sean Connery being the best one? I can't get over it. I was with younger people last night. We had this discussion about Bonds, and it's just funny. Who you grow up with becomes the Bond. And they get very intense, the conversations about, yeah, but that one was Sean with, Roger Moore, who I just despised as a Bond character. Like, they ruined the whole movies. It wasn't just his fault. Anyway, let's not talk about Bond, okay? Other than to say, man, oh man, you got to see this latest. It is it. I got to go see Lincoln next week, too. Now that I've found the secret of booking on my iPhone and the reserved seating on a little aisle side, it's just absolutely wonderful in these AVX theaters. Man, that's a whole new watching experience. So, Lincoln, it's going to be Tuesday. I'm sitting in Bluffers Park right at the point. The sun is shining. It's, you know, the loveliness. Yep, here's the Canada geese. Oh, I have met God here before, and God just flashed by. Those two geese flying over in formation, low over the water, and you can't look at the water because the sun is shining on it, and it is so dazzling that it's blinding. I'm not wearing my anti-glare, fog patch sunglasses today, and it's blinding, this brilliant bright sunshine here at 12 o'clock on, I guess, November 16th. Ah, the sheer beauty. This is, of course, a theme from other podcasts in the past. Don't you have a place you can go to? And if you don't have a place, I mean, it could be a coffee shop, I suppose, but god damn it, it really should be outside somewhere. Where you can just revel in the beauty of nature. I'm sure people do that. I'm sure our good friend Roger Gillies up north in the Yukon, even though it's cold, he knows how to get out there with his dogs and enjoy the beauty of the land. There's a man I want to visit. Hey, Roger. God damn it, if I could just free myself from these bonds of slavery and get up to the Yukon to see you, and then I'd head on down to Tennessee, to Nashville, to visit Dave Delaney, and then I'm down to Los Angeles to visit Tim Coyne, and then Florida, I suppose Florida, to track down Norm Augustinus. Oh, you know, this is it. You win the million, the multi-million, I guess, for this one, and you do just podcaster trip around the world. Never mind couch surfing or anything else. You're doing it, but your focus is the podcasters. How much fun that would be. How interesting. I don't know. I'm kind of parking my dreams about travel and so on. Oh, God, I almost threw up on that one. Closing drink last night was a glass of pure shochu on the rocks, but it was a really flavored one. It was good. I guess it was meant to be drunk straight. It's pretty powerful. The lovely Lisa had stored away, and Jeff was getting into it, and I figured I'm just going to have a splash of that before I go. And then it just got down to the critical time. Do I just stay and have another drink? And they say, yeah, sure, you know, or do I just get the hell out of there now and make my way to the exhibition go station and grab that last train? And thank God I had the sense to get out of there and grab the last go train. Midnight out of there and head on home, and then recorded whatever preceding clip this was. So I have fun during the week. I got my social calendar is alive, folks. There are places that it does involve a fair amount of alcohol, and ooh, god damn the day when I'm told, hey, buddy, you got to give up drinking. It's not that I drink to excess. It's not that, you know, I don't do hard liquor. The odd shochu or sake is the exception. It's just beer and wine, and not huge volumes of it anymore. Like, I don't set out to get drunk, but my combination is just enough alcohol to kind of satisfy my thirst, my needs, my comfort, and enjoy the taste of whatever it is that I am drinking. And then a little buzz, a little bit of a joint, and then we're good to go. And, you know, I forgive myself that. That may sound like, oh, my God, you have to do that to have fun. Oh, fuck you. You know, where are you? Grade three, that little Barbara Millichon, that little girl who was good and all the good people, the churchgoers, you know? I am a bit of a bad boy, and I'm comfortable with that. But I'm not bad in the sense that I would deliberately hurt anybody. All right, now we're just dribbling. Sorry. Higher-level themes. I taught my students that great minds talk about ideas, average minds talk about events, small minds talk about people. And put that up on the board. I do love that opportunity. I just bring in my iPad. I take all these things from Revolution of the Art or Artful Revolution or whatever, and I just get these slogans and pictures and put them up and say, let's pull this apart, you know? Who was this Charles Darwin guy? What did he mean by it's the ones who can adapt, the species who can adapt are the survivors? What's that mean? And it's just such a pleasure. Like, I guess, all in all, forgive me, again, it sounds like bragging, but I'm at a perfect place in my life right now. I'm at a perfect place. I'm getting along fine with my wife. You know, here I am on my way to my office because I got marking and shit to do. I got to meet with my accountant and submit my business statements and blah, 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 blah. But I'm packing the leftover curry rice my wife so kindly made. And later on, I'll meet Brian at the Starbucks on the corner for a coffee, and we'll get caught up and chat. And I'll come back, and hopefully I'll have the sense to stay out tonight. I'm very tempted, of course, to meet John, another great fellow creative person. I haven't met John for quite a while, John Meadows, the photographer, who used to be a great podcaster, but just moved into different territory, just like Gary of Chubb Creek has moved into photography, and it's a whole new venue to explore, and that's wonderful. It's people being creative and artistic and expressing themselves. So I've surrounded myself with just great people that I really, you know, inspire me. And maybe that's the message that you got to do. And the people who are miserable and unhappy in their lives have surrounded themselves with shitheads. You know, how do you get out of that? If you are a shithead, asshole, stupid, you know, how do you fix your life? I think I look around and I see a lot of people who can't do it, and what is it about me that makes me so lucky? And I know I have to go back to my upbringing and my good parents, you know. We talked about that last night, and I said I truly love both my mother and father, and I'm so grateful, and I would defend them against anything. I just have so much respect for both my mother and father, and that's the fair start you get in life, you know, when you've got, you know, the people who've had parents who were cruel, who or hurt them, or didn't give. It's you're starting off behind the starting line, you know, that everybody else should get to, and no wonder it takes some people longer to catch up, or some people have issues that they'll never quite resolve. I really do feel, you know, for those people, and I hope I haven't done too bad a job with my own boys. It's certainly I'm just grateful for an awful lot. Let's put an end to it right there. And I'm grateful just to be sitting, having the sense to know when I got up, I was happy because I looked out the window and saw the sun was shining. And I wasn't thinking about going in to prepare my financial statements. I was thinking about I'm heading straight for Bluffers Park, and I'm going to sit on the bench, and I'm going to have my thermos of coffee that my dear wife brought me back and filled up for me this morning. And I'm going to sit, and I'm just going to bask in that sunshine, and I'm going to talk to my Dixon Chains listeners, those of you out there who still listen and actually care and enjoy these rambles of mine. This is sheer joy. I'm honestly on a higher plane right now. This is as good as it gets. It really is. So let's end there before I start farting and spoil it. Bye for now, and come back next week. There will be more. Take care, and I hope I've managed to put some music in here for you to enjoy. Scarborough Dude, signing out with a dirty big fucking smile on my face for no reason and absolutely every reason in the world. Take care. Yeah.
Lucky that I didn't have any luck towards her. Next time I make sure that the girl will be much poorer.
Yes, we interrupt this program to bring you a message from my basement bar library. Yes, indeed, folks. I'm in the moment. This is it. This is now. This is real. This is where we want to be. Do you remember, you who are out there who are careful listeners, me talking along the lines of, how can we change? Is it possible to not exactly reinvent ourselves? That might be too much to ask, but at least change some of our old habits. And that is exactly what I'm working on right this minute. Go back a little further, and you'll remember last year, last Christmas, Boxing Day, I bought that whacking big Samsung television, 54-inch or whatever. It's beautiful. I love it. But I knew at the time, and I even talked about it on the show, that when I get that bastard into the living room, I'm going to just be trapped by it. I'm going to be... It's like the wall in, 1984, the television wall. It's going to be looking at me. I'm going to be looking at it, and there's no escape. And I really feared that I would give up more of my life, more of my time to television. And, of course, it's happened, and that is one of those habits that I want to break out of. It's just like, bam, it's on. From 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, whenever I get up, it's on until 11:30 midnight at night, off during the day when no one's home, but basically, and there's a few favorite shows that I'm very happy to watch, The Walking Dead, and now, of course, Nashville and Vegas, but much too much news, and of course it depresses me, it warps my mind, twists my thoughts, upsets me. And yet still I go back for more. I'm like a junkie with the news. And you know that. We've talked about that too. And the other day, my son makes good use of this. I took that dirty big old, at the time it was a huge monster TV, the Sony, put it down in the basement. And my son uses that with his PlayStation. And he escapes down here and he's got a little radio sticks in his iPod, and he just blasts his electronic music really loud while he plays games. And I think it's kind of cool. I'm glad he's making use of it, because this is, it's a playroom, you know. We've got a couple of leather sofas down here, and my bar, my books, but I'm just not using it at all. There's a dart board, there's a foosball table. I'm just not using it because of that fucking monster television. And I said to him just a couple of days ago, you know, I'm really going to try and break this habit. I'm really going to try and come down and use this basement and this comfy chair and read. Because what's happening, for all the television I watch, I'm not reading. And you know I'm passionate about buying books, but just don't find the time to read them. And so I've come down here today to share that with you, to say, hey, I honestly, I'm so excited right now. I could piss my pants. I just, wow, I'm here. I'm sitting in the chair today, a Monday morning. I got a doctor's appointment at noon. I got a class at 3:30, but I've got the morning free. And I'm just saying to myself, all right, fuck, don't watch Turner fucking classic movies. You don't need to. come down to the basement, bring your books, the thing that did it to me. And again, you may not see it. Yeah, I don't think you can, but I see the links. I see the impact podcasting has on my life. I see how deeply it's like the Matrix. I'm in it. I'm in this podcast. This podcast is real. You're listening to some crazy old dude ranting his head off down his basement, all excited about something, and you're trying to figure out what's he going on about? And I'm saying, fuck, I'm sitting in a chair in my basement. This is exciting. No, I'm not stoned. I'm excited. I'm where I'm supposed to be now. I've broken down that fucking wall. I'm breaking that bad habit. I'm freeing myself of the goddamn television news and the fucking Israeli bombing of Gaza and all the shit that's going on all around the fucking world. I'm in my space. I'm here. I'm free. I can choose my reality. Oh, God damn it, eh? Do you know how liberating that feels? That is? What habits have you got? Hey, sorry about the fucking furnace noise. I could run upstairs and shut it off, but God damn it, you can stomach a little noise, can't you? If you can stomach me screaming and yelling at you, you can take anything. So what if it's not the waters? I don't even need Bluffers Park today. This is my Bluffers Park. Down here with my books, my library. You know what brought me down? And again, this is why it's part of this matrix, this tapestry that we're weaving here. I said, I had that note. If you listen to the last podcast, I found a note that came up under my notepad saying, under my thumb, you know, a song that just suddenly came to mind. I want that song. I want to hear that song by the Rolling Stones. That's in my head. I want to go back to the old Stones from the early 60s, the Stones I love and grew up with. I talk about the Beatles all the time on this show, but man, I was just as much of a Stones fan in a different way. Like, that music really talked to me. Early Stones was fucking great stuff. And so yesterday I went and downloaded from iTunes Aftermath, a great, great album, 66, I believe. And there's a song on there, 11 minutes long, and I said today, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to look at, get online and find out what I got to do at work. I'm not going to worry about, do I mark this extra stack of papers that I'm way behind on that I should be, but fuck it, I don't need to do it now. Why don't I just put on the good Sony headphones, go down to the basement, get in that comfy chair, and put on Going Home by the Stones. And that's exactly what I'm doing, listening to that old Stones music. And I just said, man, oh man, oh man, 1 minute here, race back upstairs, grab your digital recorder and share this with your listeners, because this is important. I got my books, I got my space, I got my chair, and what I'm going to do now is put on Going Home, tilt the chair back, close my eyes, and just get lost in those fucking amazing sounds that those guys made. But Brian Jones and Bill Wyman and Keith Richards and Mick Jagger and Charlie Watts on drums. The Stones, man. I got it all on vinyl. I have all those old albums. I've got a fucking rich, textured life. Yeah, okay, okay, okay. So I dabble in show business, all right? By the way, I listened to Tim Coyne today. Tim Coyne, do you remember? Anybody remember Tim Coyne? You newbies won't know him, but anybody who knows about the history of podcasting knows the Hollywood podcast. Did a series called Unkempt. And then last we heard of him, he'd put out a book. I think it was called On Call, about the very first one of his love stories of his life. Now, Tim is a true artist. He's an actor. He's surviving somehow in the hard living that exists in Los Angeles. I don't know how he's getting by. But he's dropped out of sight, and we're all worried about him. Me and Shane, anyway. Anyway, yesterday, I think by chance, by accident, he posted a link to an interview I did with him about that very book that he had written on call. And I played it today, and I just, my heart was warmed. I felt so close to Tim. I felt this wonderful bond of friendship and brotherhood and caring and love and intimacy. I felt it all again. It was so nice. And that's why I'm saying, Tim, man, I love you, bro. Where the fuck are you? When are you coming back to visit us in Canada? Come to Windsor. They'll put you up. All right. That was a sidetrack, I know. Now I'm going to go back to going home. And I might even end the show, this podcast, with that whole tune. If you promise, either you just stop, say, fuck that, I'm not listening to music. I came to the Scarborough Dude to listen to him. Or do you have the time? Do you have 11 minutes of your own life to put on some headphones and listen to one great Stones song you may not have heard before? You decide. That's all I got for now. Bye, bye.
Spending too much time away. I can't stand another day. Maybe you think I've seen the world, but I'd rather see my girl. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. Yes, I am. All those letters every day, I may be all right in their way, but I'd love to see your face when I get home in their place. I'm going home. Can't wait.
can't wait. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For my thing, you wanna go in the early morning, baby. Early in the morning, early in the morning, gonna catch that plane. La la la.
This is one of those strange situations where I've had to decide, do I record now, Friday night, 8:30, in my car in a parking lot, or wait till tomorrow and drive down to Bluffers Park? And the thing is, whichever I choose, you'll get entirely different content, even if I think I want to talk about the same kind of stuff. So I'm going to go with the Friday night, that's what this is. I'm just outside the Japanese-Canadian Culture Center on Winford Drive here in Don Mills. That's part of Toronto. We've just finished the celebrations for the Emperor's birthday. It's 79th, I believe. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, I know I have podcast to you before from this very parking lot on some other occasion, and almost always, when I come out of there, I'm a little bit too drunk to drive home. I loaded up on red wine, and not an excessive amount. They give you these small plastic glasses, but enough to give me a nice little glow. And then they lay on the food, and it's salmon and beef and sushi. And the treat tonight, for those people who know Japan, was oden. And that's this sort of boiled egg. You wouldn't call it a stew. It's a very thin, watery stock, but with daikon, this wonderful vegetable that, if you know Japan, if you know daikon, you grow to love it. That with some hot mustard. Oh, it's so good. And I forget the names. Damn, they're wonderful names, too. I'm really sorry. And yeah, I could go back and do like Doug is, you know, and call out the names now in a voiceover, but I'm too lazy to do that, you know? Really, really good. So I had two bowls of that, and then the just socializing. Kathleen Wynne, who's a member of Parliament for Ontario, and, you know, Monte Quintner and a whole bunch of others, chief of police, and just a lot of people all in suits and ties, but some very, very nice people you're very happy to see. And, of course, a few of us from the Canada-Japan Society, holding up our end, and my guest, principal of a high school here. And it's just the kind of thing, it began with a koto player. You walk into this room that they've got beautifully decorated with a movie playing in the background, scenes from Japan, and then these beautiful flower arrangements. And then in one corner, they had a Japanese tea ceremony demonstration. I took a couple of pictures. Probably you'll see one with this very podcast.
And then the other side was a couple of classic koto players. And that's how it began before the speeches and toasts and everything. And it was really lovely. This, you know, maybe this sounds a little boring. I'm not ranting and raving, but it's once again me taking time to reflect on this affection I have for Japan, this deep part of my life, that this is somehow, I just feel so connected. And when I come to an event like this, and oh, there's so-and-so, and you shake hands and you see somebody, and a woman came up to me I didn't recognize at all, and she's a high school Japanese teacher, and I used to arrange to send some of her students over to Japan free if they won a speech contest, which they often did, because hers was the only school teaching Japanese. And I thought, wow, that's neat. And then right at the very end, a young man with a big smile and a beard came up to me and said, do you remember me? I'm one of the students you recruited in 2006 to look after your students from Japan when they came over. That's the same program I do every summer. And he was at a different school and recalled me. And there he is now with his new Japanese wife from a job he went, and his life, like so many others, got just completely caught up in Japan and changed. In his case, my God, you've never seen such a big smile. A very happy young man. And it's just great, these connections, these ties. On a little more of a formal level, you're there in a suit and tie and you're being polite. Nobody's telling dirty jokes or anything. It's civilized. It was very classy. And I know I would miss it if you know, my name got dropped off this mailing list of guests, of invites. I feel it's just so nice to be able to go to an event like this and celebrate that those special ties. I'm going to go from there to another point. Last night I was out, and we did this presentation on small businesses, and I gave a little talk about my own Canadian study tours to a group of very interested, mainly young Japanese ladies. It was held at the Manpuku across from the OCAD, Art Gallery of Ontario, or whatever. Not Art Gallery, you know, whatever, OCAD, okay, you know, Ontario College of Art and Design. All right, there you go, finally. And, of course, we had last call at the Village Idiot just up the corner, and bit of a scene there. A couple of drunks and whacked out people came in and had to be thrown out. And as I left, there was a young woman, and there's something very gentle about her, but she asked, what's going on? Because the police were there and the, you know, the ambulance to cart this guy off. And I said, oh, nothing. Some guy just a little whacked out on some heavy-duty drugs, I think. And my first thought was that, oh, is she kind of, I don't know, she's got a bag on her arm, and is she going to be asking me for some money? And I hated to even go there, like, why did I come up with that? Like, oh, if I start talking to her, I'm going to be hit up for something. Like, why would that even be an issue? I was just so disgusted with myself for thinking that, you know, for sort of being a little wary of a stranger. And I walked on, and we were going the same direction, and I realized, gee, she just said, oh, I'm on my way home, and kind of dropped. I didn't pursue the conversation. And then I saw a sign talking about somebody giving a presentation last week on his experiences with LSD, and I thought, oh, damn. So I deliberately said out loud, I walked up behind her and said, damn, I missed it. I really would like to. And she mentioned something that she had seen on that poster. She's like, the next thing, we are having the loveliest conversation as we got onto the subway together. We followed her down through the ticket stall, told her about my son in Japan. She's a college student at OCAD. We talked about art, about the difficulty of being an artist. I talked about the school my son went to, talked about the peace movement. We talked about politics. We just engaged in this wonderful, warm, friendly, gentle conversation. And it just felt so good. You know, and I said, do you mind if I sit beside you? And we sat there and we just talked. And this is a complete stranger who I will never see again. There's always that feeling, oh, geez, I should give her a card. Ever listen to the Dixon James podcast? Well, I didn't. It's just, I think those little exchanges in this world of strangers, in these times of tension and fear and anxiety and mistrust that we have to make just a little extra effort to be smiled, to smile at someone, to say a kind word, to strike up a conversation. I do every time I'm at the checkout counter. I'm not a doddering old fool wasting people's time. I'm quick at it, but I'll make sure that I smile and make some kind of a joke or some connection. Well, this little exchange with this young lady was so beautiful. In what, the 10 minutes it took? I got off at St. George and she kept going, you know? It was such a wonderful way to spend 10 minutes. Not that it gave me anything, but that it makes me feel we both did the right thing. We both broke down some walls. I'm an old guy. She's a young girl. But we talked. And the wonderful moment when I got off the train and I just flashed the peace sign at her and she gave me the peace sign back with big smiles. It just was so nice. And I guess I'm going on about this quite a bit lately, but I think it's more and more important. I've been reading all the little compositions my students wrote, the journal entries when I asked, do you think there'll ever be peace in this world? Why? If so, why? And if not, if so, how? And if not, why not? And man, 90% were just, no, never will be. And for the greed and the all the other issues, the reasons were wonderful. I was delighted with the students for writing such good reasons why there will never be peace on earth. Only two said there would be, and both of them were devout Christians. And that it was almost, in fact, it wasn't almost, it was disappointing because it was just, I'm buying into the faith, you know, accept the love of Christ and there will be peace kind of thing. And, well, but it was also a chance for me to say a final word to the students. It was a real pleasure having you in my class. And I only sent that to the ones who I really meant it, because those are the only ones who bothered to do these assignments anyway. It was all volunteer. And the ones who didn't, fuck them. They don't bother. They're too lazy. They don't care. They didn't get it. But I developed a really nice rapport with about 10 of the students, half the class, I'd say. Just through these little exchanges, and for each little journal entry they'd post, I'd post something back personal and from the heart, from myself, and end it with, it was really, really a pleasure having you. And it wasn't, you know, they knew I meant it. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. By the way, big plug here, advertising. Tim Coyne. Remember Tim Coyne? Tim Coyne is going to be on an upcoming Dixon James podcast. I got to put it out there because already there's a buzz. There's already people lining up to download. And I haven't even uploaded it yet because we haven't even recorded it yet. But that is coming up, I'm telling you, in December. Stay tuned to the Dixon James podcast and you are going to get the inside scoop on what has Tim Coyne, the Hollywood podcast himself, what he's been up to. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just about done, and I think I'm just about ready to drive home. Excuse me. So let's get this show on the road, and talk to you real soon. Bye for now.
The war was over, and the spirit was broken. The hills were smoking as the men withdrew. Stood on the cliffs and watched the ships slowly sinking to their rendezvous. They signed a treaty and our homes were taken. Loved ones forsaken, they didn't give a damn. Try to raise a family, end up the enemy. What went down on the plains of Abraham? Acadian driftwood, gypsy tailwind. They call my home the land of snow. Canadian cold front, golden end. What a way. Thank you.
they started, they never parted. They're just built that way. We had kin living south of the border. They're a little older and they've been around. They wrote in a letter, life is a whole lot better. So pull up your stakes, children, and come on down.
Acadian driftwood, gypsy tailwind, they call my home the land of snow. Canadian cold front moving in, what a way to ride, oh, what a way to go.
My clothes were wet and I was drenched to the bone. Been out ice fishing, too much repetition. Make a man want to leave the only home he's known. Sailed out of the Gulf, heading for St. Pierre. Nothing to declare, all we had was gone. Broke down along the coast, oh, but what hurt the most? When the people there said, you better keep moving on.
Acadian driftwood, gypsy tailwind, they call my home the land of snow. Canadian cold.
Everlasting summer filled with ill content. This government had us walking in chains. This isn't my turf, this ain't my season. Can't think of one good reason to remain.
Oh, we worked in the sugar fields up from New Orleans. It was evergreen up until the flood. You could call it an omen, point you where you're going. Set my compass north, I got winter in my blood.
Acadian driftwood, gypsy tailwind, they call my home.
Acadie.